from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we're going to do our latest installment of the Giants Mailbag. If you want to be a part of a future mailbag, we do these once a week, and you'll have to follow me on Twitter, at Ben Kaspik, and once a week I post the prompt and simply answer questions from there. So thank you to everyone who submitted questions for this week, and we'll just jump right in. So the first question comes from Brian, who says, moves like Pilar, being non-tendered, are going to continue to frustrate fans that may not be into new school baseball thinking. How can Zaidi and Harris help the fan base more easily understand their decisions and ease some tension? I'm finding this fan base is less up for change than I thought. That's a really good take on just the overall state of things. The fan base seems to lose its mind at every little move that the Giants make. And part of me wonders if maybe the reaction on Twitter isn't necessarily representative of the fan base. That's the weird thing about this day and age, is that everyone has a voice, and it's really hard to differentiate between someone who we really ought to be listening to and someone whose opinion really we shouldn't take too seriously. So I have a theory a little bit that the reaction on Twitter doesn't necessarily represent the fan base. And whether it's the decision to non-tender Pilar, the decision to hire Gabe Kapler, so many different things that they've done over the last 12 months since Farhan Zaidi was brought in have been met online with negative reaction. So to answer your question, finally, I'm just kind of the mind that they clearly do not really care about the short-term fan response to the moves they make. They wouldn't have hired Gabe Kapler if they did. They wouldn't have non-tendered Pilar. They wouldn't have cut ties with Joe Panik. One thing that they did that maybe was a response to the fans, but also to the players, was to hold on to Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith at the trading deadline. But I also think that's because they were extremely hot at that moment in time, and they had a legitimate chance at a wild card spot. And so that also could be explained as a baseball decision as well. So anyway, all that to say, I don't think they need to do anything to appease the fan base and ease tension. Because, okay, let's say the fans are truly upset and don't want to show up next season. I just have a hard time thinking, when this team starts winning games, being a good team, having fun players, you know, because to me, winning creates chemistry. So if you've got a winning team out there, you've got guys playing together and enjoying their time together, the fans are going to come back. They just are. I just cannot envision a world where the Giants are a good team again and the fans just stay away because they non-tendered Kevin Pilar. So, you know, maybe does that spell trouble for next year? Potentially, if they don't make any additional moves this offseason, but I do envision that they will. So maybe that's your question. Like, do they need to make moves to address the team in 2020? And I think the answer is yes, but it's not just to appease the fans. It's because the team that they currently have needs a lot of help. So later on in the show, in another question, we're going to talk about a player the Giants have been rumored to be pursuing. And I think if that player was acquired, that would go a long way towards fans getting excited. And it wouldn't take much, honestly. If the team just improves and starts to win, I think the fans are going to come back and get on board. And I know I've said this 1,000 times, but the Dodgers made some really unpopular moves when Farhan Zaidi was the GM there. Yet they recover. You know, when the team goes out there and wins 106 games, the fans aren't thinking about those unpopular moves. They're enjoying the team that's winning 106 games. And that's the plan for the Giants, is just to get them to that level, and people will not be worried about some of the early unpopular moves that helped get them to that point, by the way. Because these are baseball decisions. In their minds, these moves will help them get there more than tendering a contract to Pillar would have helped them get there. Anyway, moving on to question number two. Cameron says, you think the Giants are genuinely chasing a top five draft pick in 2021? We aren't looking too good. Long offseason to go, though. So, no, I don't think that at all. I think people are acting a little bit, and I'm not saying you're doing this, Cameron, but the response to the Kevin Pillar thing is as if he was a star-level player. And the fact of the matter is that he simply was not a star-level player. He gave them a floor in center field of at least probably like a win above replacement. They haven't had that high of a floor with some other options. Like if it's just Jalen Davis and Steven Duggar, the floor is lower than that. But if it's Mike Yastrzemski, Mauricio Dubon, Jalen Davis, Steven Duggar, I think between that group and anyone else they might bring in, and potentially Elliot Ramos, then they can probably get to that threshold, especially, you know, if Mike Yastrzemski can do anything like he did in 2019, he would be a really above average offensive center fielder. So that's something to get excited about potentially. So I don't see them non-tendering Pillar as a move to get worse in 2020. There may be some development that hurts a little bit. Maybe Jalen Davis and Steven Duggar, they try to develop them and it doesn't work out. Who knows? But they've also indicated that they plan to add and spend money. Obviously, it depends on if the right fit comes along. You're not going to just blatantly overpay. They're going to stick to their values. But I definitely don't think they're tanking. Just today, Cole Hamels signed with the Atlanta Braves on a one-year deal. He made it very clear he was wanting a one-year deal. And it was reported that the Giants were one of a few teams who was also in on Hamels until the end. So Cole Hamels on a one-year deal tells me the Giants, you know, are trying everything they can to put the best team they can put out there in 2020 without hurting themselves in the long term. Anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, we're going to continue to run through your questions that you posted on Twitter. So that's all coming up next, but first... Okay, as promised here in the second half, just want to continue to run through the questions you guys posted on Twitter for this week's edition of the Giants Mailbag. Candlestick Will says, are the Giants in on Wheeler or Strasburg if they don't bring back Madbum or sign Cole? Is Ozuna or Castellanos realistic at all, or is it just impossible to add bats to Oracle? Is Jonathan Villar, Charlie Culberson, or any other non-tender players more realistic for the Giants? Okay, so a lot of questions packed in here. I'll just start with the first one. I could see the Giants being in on Wheeler or Strasburg and Cole, for that matter. So I would not call that the likeliest way that they're going to spend their money. But man, Steven Strasburg would sure look good in a Giants uniform. Those guys are definitely like not the favorites for San Francisco from everything I've heard. But I can understand the fit. It's just a matter of, do you think that those contracts are going to significantly hurt you towards the end of them? Because, you know, Farhan Zaidi proved when he was in LA that they are not keen on going big years on starting pitchers. And they never handed out a contract for greater than $100 million. Now, that could change for the Dodgers, as, you know, part of that was just circumstantial. They didn't necessarily have a Garrett Cole and a Bryce Harper that they, you know, that the timing was right to pursue. And this offseason, they're rumored to be in on those guys and Strasburg too, and Anthony Rendon. So I wouldn't say, people cite that all the time, and I just did right now, as if Farhan Zaidi would never give a $100 million contract. But then again, they pursued Bryce Harper and offered him $310 million. So I think they'll listen on everybody. And the fact is, pitchers, more than position players, would probably rather play for the Giants because of the ballpark. So yeah, I have to figure they'll be in on Wheeler and Strasburg, at least to gauge the market. And if the figure ends up exceeding what they're comfortable with, they'll back down. That being said, we're hearing a lot of traction on Wheeler right now. And the word is that he might sign as soon as today. And I haven't seen the Giants rumored or connected to him so far. So I would have to put that as unlikely at this point. The second question in there is about Ozuna and Castellanos. And I do think that it is realistic. Ozuna less so because he comes with the draft pick compensation tied to his free agency. So the Giants would have to forfeit a pick to the Cardinals if they were to sign him. But Castellanos, this is the guy I've kind of been teasing it on the show today. The Giants are rumored to be pursuing outfielder Nick Castellanos, and I think it's like a perfect fit. And I've been talking all offseason about how the Giants really could use a right-handed hitting impact corner outfielder, and that spells Nick Castellanos. This is a scenario where you might need to overpay a little bit, but we also haven't seen Castellanos connected to too many teams so far in free agency. The fact is, the man can hit, and I think his defense is a little more passable than people give him credit for. Some of the numbers on Castellanos indicate that he should be okay in the outfield and not the downright unplayable outfielder that we have sometimes painted him to be. Now, getting to the last part of your question about non-tender players, obviously Jonathan Villar ended up with the Marlins. Hank Schulman said Charlie Culberson would be a great fit for the Giants. I don't see that. He's right-handed. They're looking for a left-handed infielder who can play third and second. Culberson is pretty redundant when you also have Mauricio Dubon and Donovan Solano. But that being said, there were like 56 players non-tendered, and I do think there were several who could be fits for the Giants. Grant Brisby wrote a piece for The Athletic this morning talking about some possible fits. I didn't necessarily agree with some of them. I think Domingo Santana's defense is unplayable. He was the worst defender in baseball last season. Had a strong, really strong first half offensively, completely fell off a cliff in the second half, and all told was, you know, a replacement level player because of the atrocious defense. Whereas a guy like Castellanos still manages to put up close to 3 Fangraphs wins above replacement despite questionable outfield defense. So I don't totally buy that Domingo Santana is anything more than a DH, kind of like Jose Martinez, although the Giants were interested in Jose Martinez reportedly last offseason, so who knows. Could be a fit at a massive bargain. He's kind of like Tyler Austin in that he can mash, but doesn't really have a defensive position. I think Steven Souza might be a better fit because his defense is better and the offense is potentially comparable to Domingo Santana's. And then there are some intriguing starting pitchers out there who were non-tendered as well, including Taijuan Walker and Jimmy Nelson. And then relief pitchers, Blake Treinen. My God, there were several people who would be worth picking up for the San Francisco Giants and for most teams across baseball. So the market just got a lot deeper, and there should be plenty of time for the Giants to make the additions they want to make to feel better about their team going into 2020. Last question comes from Steve, who says, best guess, the Giants A, sign a premium free agent, B, trade for an impact player, or C, make more incremental changes in both free agency and via trades, but don't add a major piece this offseason. That's a tough one between A and B for me, because the Giants were also rumored, the Mets reportedly are looking to move a bad contract, perhaps Jerry's Familia or Jed Lowry, and attach a player with team control to the bad contract. And Farhan Zaidi has explicitly said the Giants would be interested in those types of moves. So I thought it was an immediate fit there, and there are going to be other teams looking to do that, potentially the Red Sox and others as well. So that's where you can trade for an impact player, and you have a little more control over a trade, I feel like, because free agency, you can encounter a player who simply doesn't want to play for you. But a trade, any team will trade for you depending on what you're willing to offer. So I might have to lean towards a trade, because if the Giants don't sign Nick Castellanos, I think, like I said, Marcell Ozuna, I'm not sure they want to go there with the draft pick compensation tied to his free agency. And then there's not a whole lot of right-handed impact outfielders out there besides those two. There is Avisail Garcia and Yasiel Puig. I think Puig would actually be a really strong fit for the Giants. That would be another thing. My goodness, can you imagine? The fans would riot in the streets wanting Pilar back and wanting Puig kicked to the curb. But in all seriousness, I think Puig would add some much-needed, you know, athleticism and excitement to the Giants and could slot in left field or right field and be a good piece for them. That might be a great fit. So I'm really torn between saying a free agent or a trade. I just think A or B instead of C. I do think they're going to make significant changes. They have so much payroll space right now. They're not really in the same situation they were in last year when they already had a very high payroll and clearly didn't want to go too much higher. you know, unless it was the right fit. Of course, they did pursue Bryce Harper. But besides that, they didn't really see any other tremendous high-profile fits. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Again, thank you so much to those of you who submitted questions. If you want to take part next time, please follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick and look out for the prompt at some point next week. To get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Really hope you enjoyed today's show. Cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. And until then, we'll see you next time.